Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 735. The Bay of Pigs meets the October surprise, subtitled Lee Harvey Obama and the Piggyback Coup in the Middle East. This program is being recorded on February 13th of the year 2011. Well, there's a title for you, huh? This broadcast and probably one or more succeeding programs dealing with the unfolding events in the Middle East are going to be not only about as complex from a conceptual standpoint as any broadcasts I've done, they're also very referential, so I can't encourage people strongly enough to please use the SpitfireList.com website, use past broadcasts, both the audio files and the written descriptions, because I think that use of that is going to be absolutely essential for talking about, for understanding, I should say, what it is that we're going to be talking about in this broadcast and perhaps subsequent broadcasts about not only what's going on in Egypt, but what's going on in the Middle East in general, what may be going on the Earth Island, and, what might be unfolding here in the United States. The title of the program, The October Surprise Meets the Bay of Pigs and Lee Harvey Obama and the Piggyback Coup in the Middle East, those are obviously referential points of information. The Bay of Pigs, of course, was an abortive covert operation. Well, it wasn't aborted, but it was an unsuccessful covert operation against Cuba in the early 1960s. It was actually begun under the Eisenhower administration, and it was carried forward under President Kennedy's administration. It also, according to a number of sources, was deliberately botched. The late Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, former Air Force focal point officer, that is to say the Air Force officer in charge with coordinating with CIA on covert operations involving the use of Air Force units with CIA. Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, in an article that we read in The Guns of November, Part 1, read into the record of The Guns of November, Part 1, has stated in no uncertain terms that the plan for the Bay of Pigs was deliberately botched, and the air support that was required to for the invasion to be successful was deliberately withheld in order to, in the eyes of some analysts, force President Kennedy's hand into a more overt military support for an invasion of Cuba. Whatever the motivation for General Cabell to withhold the go effort for the air units to supplement Bay of Pigs, according to Colonel Prouty and some other observers, the actual original plan was deliberately sabotaged. And again, many people feel that Cold War hardliners wanted to force Kennedy's hand into a more vigorous opposition to Cuba and a more aggressive stance in the Cold War in general. The October surprise refers to what is generally seen as collaboration between between the Reagan-Bush campaign in 1980 and the Khomeini/Islamist forces in Iran to withhold the U.S. hostages that were taken from the embassy there until after Jimmy Carter's consequent political humiliation and resultant electoral defeat were assured. In visits with Farah Mansour, an Iranian activist and member of the Iranian opposition, we have discussed Farah's extensive, exhaustive research that, in fact, the collaboration between the Bush-Reagan forces and the Islamist forces in Iran actually went back well before the hostages themselves were taken, and that what has come to be known as the October surprise was actually the outgrowth of a long covert operation that had been undertaken in the relatively early 1970s in order to replace the Shah, who was known to have cancer, with someone who could be counted upon to be anti-communist and yet also did not have some of the popularity shortcomings, I guess one could say, that the Shah had with his own people. It is Farah Mansour's hypothesis, and I think he has done an excellent job of presenting that, that in fact the Islamists in Iran were seen as a very useful counterweight to the potential of communist expansion in the Middle East, and that, in fact, on the southern flank of the former Soviet Union, they wanted a strong, dependable anti-communist force. And obviously, although it was hostile to the U.S., the Islamists there were very, very hostile to communism indeed. I suspect that what I refer to as the Underground Reich, literally a Third Reich gone underground, was also envisioning the use of not only the Iranian but also other Islamists as long-term proxy warriors to help get rid of the United States and Israel and the Jews as well, thus realizing Nazi geopolitical aims. More about that in future broadcasts. But when I talk about the Bay of Pigs meets the October surprise, what I'm talking about is a covert operation, which I think the Egyptian uprising was initiated by. Certainly, obviously, the shortcomings of the Mubarak regime, the outrage of the Egyptian people are certainly evident enough and in direct relationship to one another. Something else we're going to talk about in this broadcast, time permitting, it will certainly be in the description, but the worldwide rise in food prices that has been keyed in part by the collapse of the stock market, the Wall Street collapse of 2008, which has shifted a lot of capital into commodity speculation. That, plus some very untimely bad weather around the world, has contributed to an enormous increase in food prices. That appears to have been a propelling factor in various theaters of social unrest, including Tunisia and Egypt. More about that, time permitting, later in the broadcast. But I think there's a good deal of evidence at this point that the Egyptian uprising was supported by a U.S. covert operation, in all probability one that was begun under the Bush administration and that the Obama administration has gone along with. It may even be that Obama was set up to an extent to carry this forward and subsequently to take the blame if anything goes wrong. I also think that the long-term effects of this covert operation are very likely to turn against the interests of the United States, although they may very well be in pro-corporate. They may favor the interests of transnational corporations. I think that what we're looking at in many ways is similar to the Bay of Pigs and the October surprise. I think there is actually collusion between Islamist elements and the Muslim Brotherhood and elements that have helped to bring about the Egyptian coup. I have noted in the past that Grover Norquist and Karl Rove, two of the key luminaries in the Republican landscape, or on the Republican political landscape, were instrumental in bringing about the creation of the Islamic Institute. That was a nonprofit that basically functioned as sort of the Republican Party's Islamic branch of its ethnic outreach wing. And the Islamic Institute is inextricably linked with the Muslim Brotherhood and with the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002, the largest terror funding bust and domestic terror funding bust in American history. Karl Rove has established a significant presence in Sweden. It has been speculated that he was involved with helping to pursue the prosecution of Julian Assange, as well he may. I strongly suspect that Karl Rove is deeply involved with this covert operation and may actually have been involved with efforts at leaking information about this covert operation. That would place it sort of in the category of the Bay of Pigs, a deliberately sabotaged covert operation. I refer to Lee Harvey Obama. Obviously, it's a reference to President Obama as Lee Harvey Oswald, because I think that he may very well have been set up to take the blame for this operation. We're going to be taking a look at events that were taking place at the very tail end of George Bush's second administration. And I want to note a series of broadcasts that I was doing in this time period in November and December of 2008, right after Barack Obama's election. I did a series of broadcasts called Bad Jacketing Obama. There was a series of programs in the middle 600, 640, 650, around in there. And there were several of them titled Bad Jacketing Obama Part 1, 2, etc. And I noted that Barack Obama's political milieu, that word again, in the Chicago area was not only inextricably linked with the Chicago political machine that was hooked up with the Daley interests and also Governor Blagojevich, but also that many of the elements that were inextricably linked with Barack Obama's rise as a political creature in the Chicago area were inextricably linked with Karl Rove and Talat Altman and other people involved with the creation of the milieu that that came to the surface in the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, 2002. I speculated at that time about the possibility of Obama being maneuvered in such a way as to take the fall for a major Islamist terrorist incident that could destroy him and the Democrats politically by extension. I believe at this point, that's certainly a possibility. I believe at this point, obviously this is an opinion, but I believe that Obama may very well have been being maneuvered at this point as a vehicle for helping to further this covert operation. In the second side of the program, we're going to be taking a look at the U.S. Institute for Peace, under whose auspices the Muslim World Initiative was undertaken during the Bush administration, ostensibly aimed or sincerely aimed at sort of rebooting America's relationship with the Muslim world. It incorporated various elements that were represented as moderate Islamists, but which were in fact Muslim Brotherhood elements that were anything but moderate. This led to something of a schism within the Bush administration, but I strongly suspect that the maneuvering of Barack Obama into place was in part to pave the way for this Muslim World Initiative. I think that the implications of this go even beyond the United States. I think that the West very much wants to see, elements in the West anyway, very much want to see the Muslim Brotherhood as something of proxy warriors on the Earth Island to help weaken Russia and China, and in particular to gain control ultimately of some of the petroleum-producing areas of Russia. I suspect, too, that ultimately the underground Reich is going to be utilizing the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamist warriors as proxy warriors in their long-term vision to finish off the U.S., finish off democracy, finish off Israel, and finish off the Jews. Yeah, this is a rather tall order. For one program, I'm going to do the best I can. We'll probably go into several broadcasts, but suffice it to say, I think that what is going on in Egypt and in the Middle East in general is the product of a covert operation. And I want to call to mind some of the discussions that we had in 2010 with John Loftus about there being, in effect, two CIAs and two State Departments, one of them associated generally with the Democrats and the other with the Republicans, the latter inextricably linked with the transnational corporations and owing its genesis to the forces of international fascism and their recoalescence, so to speak, at the end of World War II. Because I think that, in a sense, both State Departments and both CIAs have been collaborating on this covert operation. Ultimately, I suspect the Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, Underground Reich elements are going to see to it that the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamist elements are preeminent. We'll see about that. But I think that a lot of the elements that are working through the Obama State Department actually see the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamist elements as genuine moderates, and I think they're going to be proven dramatically wrong. Now, obviously, that's an awful lot to contemplate, and this all will be contemplated in conjunction with the other broadcasts, in particular, for the record, 733 and 734. 733, about a night in Tunisia, the roving reporter, and 734, A Night in Tunisia, Part 2. Are Karl Rove and WikiLeaks working with the Muslim Brotherhood? I believe that is the case, and we're going to examine that as part of this piggyback coup. I view it as a piggyback coup because I think that an extremist element is piggybacking in on top of what is represented as a moderate element. Also, in many ways, the Egyptian uprising piggybacked on the Tunisian uprising that preceded it by some days. Now, I can appreciate that this sounds incredible, whatever. Please use past broadcasts, the discussion of the Bay of Pigs, the interviews with Farah Mansour, and there'll be a link in the description for this broadcast. But let's plunge into what I call the piggyback coup and indications that, in fact, the uprising in Egypt was cued to an extent by elements of Western intelligence, U.S. intelligence in particular. The Raw story had the following post. It's called U.S. Secretly Backed Egyptian Protest Leaders. For the last 3 years, this, by the way, from January 28th of 2011, for the last 3 years, the U.S. government secretly provided aid to the leaders behind this week's social uprising in Egypt, aimed to topple the government of President Hosni Mubarak, according to a leaked diplomatic cable. One of the young Egyptian leaders who attended a summit for activists in New York with the help of the U.S. Embassy in Cairo was detained when he returned to Egypt, the memo released by WikiLeaks said. The Daily Telegraph reported Friday that it and the secrets outlet were both hiding the identity of this young Egyptian leader. He was arrested in connection with this week's demonstrations. The leaked document indicates that the U.S. government was publicly supporting Mubarak's government while privately backing opposition groups. A plan concocted by the dissident groups to oust Mubarak and install a democratic government prior to the September 2011 elections was relayed to the American embassy in Cairo. I want to note that Mubarak and other of his administration or regime were talking about outside interference and hinting rather explicitly and darkly at outside forces that were lobbying for this particular overthrow. They may have been talking about the U.S. More about this, from the Asia Tribune. This is an article by Dea Gamage from January 30th of 2011. It's called U.S. Covertly Aided Egyptian Protest Leaders for Regime Change. And this specifically talks about Margaret Scobie and events taking place in the U.S. Embassy in Cairo in December of 2008. The United States has been covertly preparing a regime change in Egypt for the last 2 years, secretly assisting the leaders who were preparing a blueprint to bring representative government to Egypt, now emerging as leaders or organizers of the mass uprising that the world is witnessing today. The U.S. State Department officials, U.S. congressmen, and their immediate staff were engaged in having discussions with the Egyptian rebel leaders on U.S. soil. The U.S. Embassy in Cairo was instrumental in organizing a summit in New York in 2008 to meet one of the young Egyptian activists. On his return to Cairo, this activist was detained by the Egyptian intelligence unit. All these and more are now revealed in a classified diplomatic cable sent from the American Embassy in Cairo to Washington, dated December 30th of 2008 and disclosed by WikiLeaks, which the Asian Tribune will place before its readers. The name of this young Egyptian leader is withheld for obvious reasons. The WikiLeaks-released Cairo U.S. Embassy cable is very clear that the United States government was overtly supporting the Mubarak regime while covertly endeavoring to undermine it and replace it with a representative government. And, of course, the speculation here is that the writing was on the wall with regard to Mubarak, and that basically unloading Mubarak and replacing him with someone who would not provoke reaction was the order of the day. A couple things to point out. First of all, this was in December of 2008, the latter part of 2008. Of course, George Bush was still president at this point. But it was in this time period that I was doing the series Bad Jacketing Obama. Indeed, Obama's rise to power was such, or his rise to prominence was such, that a savvy person could figure that he has to have been connected. 10 years ago, nobody had ever heard of him. By the middle of this past decade, he was the next big thing. As Franklin D. Roosevelt observed, in politics, nothing happens by accident. And it's all pay for play these days. You don't go from zero to 60 the way he did without having some pretty serious people behind you. So I don't think anyone with half a brain could fail to understand that Obama has to have been an inside player. I'm not going to go into it at great length here, but in a couple of lectures in the run-up to the 2008 elections, I discussed information that Obama was in all probability a U.S. intelligence officer, probably second generation. I not only believe that to be the case, but I believe that in part he was being maneuvered not only to further the Muslim World Initiative, again begun under the Bush administration, but I think the Karl Rove and right-wing Republican interests that I believe are helping to steer and perhaps sabotage this coup are ultimately going to use it to destroy Barack Obama and the Democrats politically. If, for example, looking ahead, if a bunch of Muslim Brotherhood governments come to power in the Middle East, or even if the Muslim Brotherhood gains enough influence to begin wreaking havoc politically and or militarily or economically, you're going to see, or if it actually overtly comes to power, you're going to see such a reaction in this country. Obama will be the man who lost the Middle East. He, quote, lost Egypt, unquote, and the Democrats lost Egypt. And if an ascension of Islamist slash Muslim Brotherhood governments or interests in the Middle East takes place, and if it is followed by a terrorist incident involving weapons of mass destruction, or any one of a number of other possible misadventures that could befall the United States and or its troops, which remain engaged in Muslim countries around the world, you're going to see the most incredible right-wing reaction in this country. And I think that is one of the things that has been envisioned. And that's one of the reasons why I note, first of all, that Karl Rove has been holding forth very significantly in Sweden. And you'll notice that WikiLeaks has leaked this particular document. So now the Mubarak forces in Egypt and those who would defend Mubarak against the tides of change that have replaced him, they're going to know bloody well that they were being, basically, the skids were being greased for them, and there will now be plenty of fodder for the Republicans if the Islamists and the Muslim Brotherhood hold sway following the downfall of Mubarak and the Tunisian coup. This country is going to go so far to the right. You watch the Obama's a Muslim crowd. In fact, you watch a complete right-wing sweep of the American political landscape, with the result of this country is going back to the 14th century, and its economy is going back to the 14th century B.C. You can kiss it goodbye if that happens, and keep your eye on this one. Keep your eye on the Obama's a Muslim, and Obama lost the Middle East because he was pursuing a closet Muslim agenda. And you watch that hook up with the Tea Parties and all. Bloody hell. It is going to be something else. Now, the activist there who was detained, it is not clear to me, at least from what I've seen, who exactly that was, but I think the evidence suggests it may very well have been Wael Ghanim. Now, he is the Google marketing executive in Egypt who was one of the leaders of the April 6th movement. Well, I should perhaps recap one aspect of this past Asian Tribune, of this article from the Asian Tribune. Again, Ambassador Scobie, Margaret Scobie, the U.S. ambassador in Cairo. The Scobie diplomatic memo was labeled, quote, April 6th activist on his U.S. visit and regime change in Egypt, unquote. And again, this is from December 30th of 2008. Now, notice that was leaked. And this was taking place when George Bush was president of the United States. It was his State Department and also probably elements of his CIA that were undertaking this. I do believe that the Obama administration, as we discussed in For the Record 721, among others, has been carrying on this pro-Muslim Brotherhood initiative that we've spoken about in For the Record 560 and 561, among other broadcasts. We've spoken in the past, again, about Karl Rove and Grover Norquist and the Bush administration's profound links with the Muslim Brotherhood. They have not received a lot of discussion, but let me tell you, if the Muslim Brotherhood, if the Islamists come to power throughout the Middle East, or even significant portions of the Middle East, or if they gain influence because of this, watch out for what is taking place. Now, Wael Ghanim, now he is the Google marketing executive who is in many ways seen as one of the leaders of this coup, as one, he certainly is one of the leaders of the April 6th movement. And he credits not only Google, but basically he credits Facebook and WikiLeaks with helping to produce this particular coup. For the record, 718, in your Facebook, a virtual panopticon, I noted strong links between Facebook and a CIA corporation that monitors tech activities here in the Silicon Valley. Not something that is in and of itself at all remarkable. Certainly one would expect CIA and other intelligence services to stay abreast of anything having to do with high tech. But I would note that that Google, like Facebook, maintains a strong relationship with the Central Intelligence Agency. This from the Danger Room column from Wired Magazine of July 28th of 2010, article by Noah Shachtman. It's entitled Exclusive, Google and CIA Invest in Future of Web Monitoring. It reads in part, the investment arms of the CIA and Google are both backing a company that monitors the web in real time and says it uses that information to predict the future. The company is called Recorded Future, and it scours tens of thousands of websites, blogs, and Twitter accounts to find the relationships between people, organizations, actions, and incidents, both present and still to come. In a white paper, the company says its temporal analytics engine goes beyond search by, quote, looking at the invisible links between documents that talk about the same or related entities and events. The idea is to figure out for each incident who was involved, where it happened, and when it might go down. Recorded Feature then plots that chatter, showing online momentum for any event. The cool thing is you can actually predict the curve in many cases, says company CEO Christopher Ahlberg, interesting here, a former Swedish Army Ranger with a PhD in computer science, which naturally makes the 16-person Cambridge, Massachusetts firm attractive to Google Ventures, the search giant's investment division, and to InQtel, which handles similar duties for the CIA and the wider intelligence community. It's not the first time Google has done business with America's spy agencies. Long before it reportedly enlisted the help of the National Security Agency to secure its networks, Google sold equipment to the Secret Signals Intelligence Group. InQtel backed the mapping firm Keyhole, which was bought by Google in 2004, and then became the backbone for Google Earth. And again, this in and of itself doesn't prove anything, but I do want to note that Google, like Facebook, does maintain an active relationship with the Central Intelligence Agency, and one of the leaders of the coup, or the uprising, I should say, in Egypt, was Wael Ghanim, a marketing executive for Google in Egypt. I suspect, and he was taken into detention, I suspect that he is that activist who is alluded to in those documents. And note that WikiLeaks blew his cover, basically, or blew the cover of that activist, although the newspapers have not disclosed the individual's identity. The fact that the individual, or that the April 6th movement was, in fact, collaborating with the U.S. Embassy was blown, so that basically, like the Bay of Pigs, this was a blown operation. And I also want to note that Wael Ghanim was a graduate of American University in Cairo. I don't know much about that, but I do know that American University in Beirut has a very close relationship with the Central Intelligence Agency. And as we're going to see inside two of this program, in the American University in Cairo, there are a number of people advocating, there are prominent academicians advocating the Muslim Brotherhood be included in the democratic process in Egypt, which they are certainly going to be. Whether they adhere to democratic process remains to be seen. We will examine that, however, inside two of For the Record program number 735, The Bay of Pigs meets the October surprise, Lee Harvey Obama and the piggyback coup in the Middle East. This program is being recorded on February 13th of the year 2011. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.